gesture.
Bless you, thank you. I've got a
Would you like to
tick
mute
somewhere here.
yourself, everyone?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Is that good? Yeah, good. Bless you. Well, always good to be with you as ever. As we've already acknowledged, such a difficult time for the whole Jewish community all over the world. And was just so thankful for those who are not Jewish believers, but who are believers in Yeshua, who are standing with us. And it just means so much. So thank you all so much, who those of you who weren't born Jewish, but who have got that heart that the Lord has given you. And we appreciate that so much. We're going to be continuing. For the last just last time, and for the next few times, we're looking at Yeshua's final intercessory prayer. And in that, from John 17, there's just so much for us to glean, so much for us to connect with, and to really embrace in our own inner life with the Lord. So I would really encourage you to read that intercessory prayer in John 17 again and again in your own personal devotions. Because this revelation that the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, has prayed for you, has prayed for me, and is praying for you and for me now, is such a powerful revelation to think he prayed for me, he is praying for me, and somehow to really get that on board. And not just as a mental concept, but as something that is so much a part of our life. It is quite transforming in effect when we see it and understand it. So we're going to be reading. I'll probably be going over stuff that we looked at last time, because this final prayer, as so much of the Lord's teaching kind of interweaves, goes in and out, says the same thing from a slightly different perspective in that beautiful sort of Jewish way. So we're going to be looking at John 17, verse 4 to 13. John 17, verse 4 to 13. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I think it is such a wonderful privilege for us, isn't it, to be able, as it were, to almost eavesdrop, to listen to this prayer that the Lord prayed with his disciples. He had spent almost every hour and every minute of the last 3 years with them, as most Jewish rabbis do anyway, conveying their teaching to their disciples, to, as it were, transfer the teaching to the next generation. But with Yeshua, it was that, but so much more as well, because he was somehow transferring his life into them, sharing his life with them. And then through the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was given, they were to receive his actual spirit within them. So the spirit of Messiah would be then living in them, and then they would be fully able to carry on the work that he had come to do. But now he has come to, as it were, the final moments of his work on earth. The cross is merely hours ahead of him. And for that alone, all his surrender and all his dedication will be needed. So at the moment where we enter into this prayer in John 17, his work is now almost finished. And we see some beautiful truths from this, where he says, I have finished the work which you have given for me to do. So even for him, there was this specific allocated work that he had to do. I find that so beautiful, because that is so true for our lives as well. And it was even true for his life. He says, I've finished the work which you have given me to do. And so for us too, God has given us a specific work in our lives. It may be small, it may be, we might feel it was rather limited, but it's not. As Jennifer was sharing about what the preacher shared, when we all have a gift and we've all been given a little bit of a work that we might do in our lives. We have a sphere that God has put us in. And those people within that sphere, we are to touch their lives. And we'll come to that in a minute, and how we are to touch their life in the way that Yeshua touched the disciples' life. Paul describes the same thought in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, where he says, quite famously, his famous words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. From now on, there is ready for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord gives to those who love him. And Paul very much felt there was a race for him in this life to run, a fight to be fought, something to achieve, as it were, that the Lord had given him, works prepared beforehand, before the foundation of the world. And each one of us has been given something, and the Lord has entrusted us by his Spirit and with his grace and his help that we might finish it. But it's good to know also that there comes a time when we can know that that work is done. We can, as it were, rest and know, I finished the work now. It's done. I can rest in the Lord, and the Lord's got perhaps other things. One of the most lovely believers who we know, and she's not, in fact, she's probably, humanly speaking, slightly simple almost on the spectrum. But she somehow just seems to radiate Yeshua, radiate Jesus. And she has got just a really loving heart. And in the world's eyes, she's probably dismissed as somebody who's completely useless, but the effect which she has, people, believers, I don't know, just being with her, there's just such a beauty. It's something which God has done in her, and that little gift that she has been given, and she's been faithful. So it's not that we have to be some, we would all like to be some charismatic Billy Graham or something, or, do something wonderful for the Lord, but it isn't like that. God gives us his own specific work, and we have to be, and we are called to be faithful in that, so that at that final moment when we go to be with the Lord, he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And then he says, "I've finished the work which you have given me to do. I have glorified you on the earth." And this is our work. This is your work. This is my work, to glorify him on the earth. And to, Lord, how can I glorify you in my life? That is a challenge. It is a something which we need to think and pray over. Lord, I really want to, how can I glorify you in little things? What really does glorify you? So it's something to really think and to pray through in our lives. Verse 6 reveals the nature of his work. He said, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me." His whole life had been to convey the person of the Father to the disciples. Verse 7 shows us the result of him manifesting his name, that they have known that all things you have given me are from you. And this is always the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a disciple. We see that Yeshua is the Son of God. And in our journey of discipleship, the first thing that the Holy Spirit does is to show us all things that Yeshua has and had, all things that Jesus had and did, were from the Father. And that's the first revelation that happens in our life as a disciple, which is very, very wonderful. And in a wonderful way, the Father's name is revealed to us in the very words of Messiah. We have this use of the word "the name" in it's taken up in a lot of Jewish thinking. The name, and Yeshua uses it in the sense of it being synonymous with the very person of the Father. And we know how a name is synonymous with us, and we use a name in a very particular way. Not so much now, but in cultures previously to ours, the king's name had a authority to it, a name had all the authority of the person behind it. We still, I think our tax office is still called after the king's, his majesty or her majesty's. And the name carried the authority. And with Messiah, the very words people said of him, nobody ever spoke like this man. There was something about his words. He could say, I have given to them the words which you have given to me. And in John 8, verse 26 to 28, he said, I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. As my father taught me, I speak these things. So that when you heard Yeshua, in an unbelievable way, you heard the Father. You were somehow, the Father was revealed to you. And the disciples were often asked and wanting, Lord, show us the Father. That was often their prayer. Lord, show us the Father. We want to know the Father. Who's going? They said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's like just an absolute mystery, really. Unbelievable and just so wonderful. And we have confidence against the lies of the world that every word of God is true, because we know that Yeshua's word is the Father's word. It comes from the Father, from God our Father. He said, the Lord Jesus said, your word is truth. The psalmist says in 100 verse chapter Psalm 119 verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth. God's word is the ultimate authority. And our response is to verse 8, to receive, to know, to believe. And also to be in a wonderful way, and this is the work of the Holy Spirit for us as believers, to be more and more caught up in the work of the Spirit and in the fellowship of Yeshua's sufferings and in the power of his love. Because in the midst of the sufferings that are going on all over the world, we see it ex exemplified in Israel, specifically at this time, in the most revealing way. But it's going on all over the whole world. Paul talks in Romans 1, the whole earth is groaning in travail because of sin, because of the fall, because of mankind's inhumanity. There isn't probably one acre in the whole earth where people aren't hating and fighting and killing one another in some capacity or doing ill to each other. The whole earth is travailing until Messiah's return. And we are called in a wonderful way to be a part of that. And this prayer, his last prayer, unites us with that and calls us into sharing with that. Because this prayer begins to reveal Yeshua as the high priest over all. And in his authority, in his compassion, he is praying for us, praying in this passage here, initially for the early disciples. They would have the responsibility, a big responsibility, and they were a very motley crew. If you look in your own life and think, oh my goodness, I am a motley crew, they were even more, I think. They were a very motley crew. And yet they had been given the responsibility to evangelize the whole world. So it was quite a big thing. And he prays for them because the transference of his life had to be given to them in entirety, and it was in a wonderful way. And then later on, he prays for us, and we know that his prayer as the great high priest is continuing now and will do until his return, in just such a wonderful way. And as I said at the beginning, it's so transforming to know that. Some people ignorantly might say, oh, well, how can Jesus pay for all the people at the same time? Which on the surface sounds quite credible, but it actually just shows people's ignorance of who God's nature, who God is. Apparently, and I know nothing about medical things at all, but apparently in the human body alone, it contains 30 trillion living cells. This is in the human body alone. This isn't, apparently one cell can, you can divide it up into trillions as well, but in the human body, there are 30 trillion living cells and 39 trillion microbiobial cells, whatever that is. And they're all somehow interacting, and somehow your brain and your heart is listening to all of those things. Compared to those 30 trillion cells, there are a mere 8 billion people on Earth. So just from the example of the human body, it is no problem for our great high priest to, and for God our Father to hear our prayers, to answer our prayers. Those whom you have given me, the Lord says, I don't want to overextend our time. I'll just finish with this. The Lord says, those whom you have given me. And that reveals a wonderful truth, that the Father has given us to Yeshua. And Paul picks up on this in Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5. And it is a real mystery, something for us to kind of try and comprehend. It is a most beautiful mystery. Somehow, before the creation of the universe and before the creation of everything, we were somehow in almost in the mind of God, and we were given to Yeshua. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons. The most wonderful, incredible truth. And Yeshua touches on that truth in this prayer. Those whom you have given me. So, knowing that we have been given to the Father, knowing that He has a wonderful plan for our lives, plan for the world and the earth, plan for His people, plans for Israel, plans for every second of our life. That increasingly gives us the confidence to walk with confidence in the midst of a very troubled world. And in that, the Lord is revealing himself to us so that as disciples, his light might be shining a little bit more, a little bit more. Each day the world's getting darker, even though the secular newspapers can see that. But by God's grace, your life, my life, is to be getting a little bit brighter. Each day, a little bit brighter. The physical body is fading away, as we know. We don't have to be assured about that, but that we can know about. But the life of Yeshua in you and in me, each day is getting a little bit brighter, a little bit brighter, as our revelation of his love increases, knowing that he's praying for us, knowing that he's with us, as we said earlier on, knowing that he, by his spirit and by the power of his blood, he is working that transforming work to make us into his image, gives us the confidence in a very, very troubled world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we can know that whatever happens to us, he is somehow behind it. He has somehow allowed it to happen because he's working in that for his glory, so that he might be glorified as we consecrate totally our lives to him each day, each moment, that he might be glorified. Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen.
Well, thank you, Stuart. Thank you for sharing that. And it does comfort us. And